Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Merry Christmas. You see, the church is still decorated, right? It's still the Christmas season. We say Merry Christmas. It's the Feast of the Epiphany. And the gospel reading today serves as a kind of overture. You know what an overture is? At the beginning of a big epic movie or at a play or even in a novel, you may sometimes get a kind of a look at some of the main characters that are coming. And this is, or the main themes. And so today's gospel comprises part of an overture of the whole gospel. And it presents the themes which Matthew will develop. The shepherd of Israel is Jesus. And the light to the nations has come. And people will come and prostrate themselves before this child, this epiphany. Now, what is an epiphany? For me, you know, epiphany is not one of those words we use every day. So, what's the substitute word for it? It's an aha. Yeah, an aha moment, an oh yeah, a new understanding, a new revelation of the world, of ourselves, some new realization. So today is the epiphany, and we have our own epiphanies in life, and we should desire them. We should long for them because they are both possible and necessary steps on our path to mental, emotional, spiritual maturity when we come to a new place. I remember having a conversation with a little 5-year-old boy, and this little boy was curious about many things, as 5-year-olds are, and he was curious about heaven. He had a favorite toy, his train. He wanted to know, would he have his toy train in heaven? Now, you know, you can imagine, as he grew up and became a man, at some point, he probably did not care about having his toy train in heaven. But when did that transition, when did he have a new awareness of what heaven would be like and what he would want or what he would long for in heaven? You know, some of you maybe can hum the song. I'm sure you all heard it at some point or another. If heaven's not a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go, right? Yeah, but you know, whoever wrote that song, I hope they got over that idea. I hope they got past that vision of what communion with the Almighty and Eternal God would be like. And maybe they had an epiphany. Maybe they came to a new awareness of the greatness of God and the promise of eternal life. But we all need to reflect on our lives and see when we come or how we've come to a new understanding of ourselves and the world. And sometimes when it happens all at once, an aha, an epiphany. And we should be looking for them, and we should seek them, and we should cultivate them in our hearts. I was recently came across a quote, and this quote really spoke to me. It sunk in immediately as I read it. And I'll give you the quote, and then I'll give you a little example. Have patience with all things, but chiefly have patience with yourself. Do not lose courage in considering your own imperfections, but instantly set about remedying them, and every day begin the task anew. And I read that I had been putting off a certain thing. I was going to handwrite a letter to somebody, okay? And I had been putting it off for weeks and months, and it had reached a whole year, okay? And I thought, I'm not doing that today. And then I read that quote, and I sat down, and I wrote a long handwritten letter, a long time since I did that. Begin the task anew. An epiphany on how we approach our problems. And again, not that I've never had that idea before, but it sunk in a little more deeply. You know, I have the privilege of being part of a retreat often. And one particular retreat that I often work, there is a series or a section in it where we consider our ideals. What is an ideal? An ideal is like the fundamental goal of your life. It's like, what is it that drives you? What's the main direction you're going in? What is your ideal? You ever think about that question? And then as we introduce people to the idea of an ideal, then we ask them to think about their life. That maybe what was their ideal when they were a child? Maybe it was a toy train. As a teenager, maybe it was the best car. As a young man, as a young woman, as somebody middle-aged, as someone more mature, and how our ideals change. And they change when we come to a new awareness and a new understanding of ourselves and life. And those new understandings and those new awarenesses, they come to us sometimes through epiphanies. Those aha moments of a new maturity, a new spirituality. I think about the discoveries in life that I have yet to make. Knowing that God isn't finished with me. Knowing that God is continuing to show me a greater wisdom, I hope, and a greater insight, and a greater understanding, maybe a greater peace. And I want to have an epiphany, and I want you to have them. Now, today we're here to talk about the epiphany. The epiphany is when Jesus Christ is made known to the world through these magi. They are symbolic characters. I believe they were real people who really traveled across the desert and really carried their treasures with them. But they still symbolize all the people of the world seeking Jesus. See, they were Gentiles. And St. Paul says in the second reading tonight, St. Paul talks about the fact that a great mystery was made known to him through revelation, that the Gentiles were heirs with the Jews as being children of God. You know, we can divide the whole world into the Jews and the Gentiles, okay? And the Jewish people, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all of those characters, those people were to bring God to the world, and they did through Jesus Christ and the prophets. And all of the rest of the world is going to be brought into the family of God through Jesus. And these magi, they symbolize all the non-Jews in the world, human beings of different cultures and different centuries. And they struggled with these questions, and I hope you struggle with these questions too. These are universal questions. Why is there something and not nothing? Why does the world exist at all? Why do I exist at all? How is life interconnected? How am I connected to the rest of the world and the rest of all of the biosphere in the world? How do the stars and the planets affect my life, or do they? These are all questions that human beings have asked throughout history. And the Magi in today's gospel are asking those kind of questions, and they study the night sky, and they seek, and they see in the night sky a star, and God speaks to them through that star, and God is calling them through their hunger and thirst for wisdom and knowledge. And they begin a quest across the desert, a courageous quest across the desert. And this star and their hunger and thirst and their courage and curiosity lead them to a people, a very peculiar or very particular people, I should say, the Jewish people. And then they find their way to some scribes, and the scribes tell them about the town of Bethlehem. And they go to Bethlehem in search of Jesus, and they find him. And what does it say? They prostrate themselves. And again, that means putting your face on the ground. They humble themselves and open their treasure before Jesus, and they pour out their treasure. The Magi sought God with what they had, and an open heart and an open mind, and they went on a quest, and they found him. Now, before explaining the significance of the Magi's gifts, I need to refer to a humorous card that I had, a humorous Christmas card. And it it imagined what would happen if the Magi had been three wise women instead of three wise men. And the card figured that these wise women would have asked for directions a lot earlier, okay? And they would have found their way to Bethlehem in time for the birth, okay? And they would have not brought frankincense and myrrh, they would have brought diapers and blankets. And I was telling this story to other Mass, and right after Mass, a lady comes up to me and says, "You know, Father Mike, the wise men were in charge of the first baby shower, and they failed miserably." That's why women have taken over that. So that's a good thing, okay. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about those gifts that the wise men did bring. The fathers of the church, those first Christian teachers and theologians reflecting on the sacred scripture, asked the question, what do these gifts symbolize? And I know some of you have heard this before, and this story should be familiar to us. But we have the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And one particular theologian, I think he got it right, Irenaeus of Lyon, he gave this interpretation. The kingship of Jesus, the divinity of Jesus, and the sacrificial death of Jesus are all present in these three gifts. For gold is a royal gift. The symbolism of the gold and the wealth and the splendor and the beauty of the gold, it's a royal gift. It symbolizes his royalty. And frankincense, that's incense. And incense has always, or for centuries and centuries, certainly the Jews burned incense as part of their worship of God. They had an altar of incense before the Holy of Holies. In fact, Zechariah was burning incense when the angel appeared to him and told him his wife was going to become pregnant with John the Baptist. So the incense, the frankincense, is a symbol of Jesus' divinity. And then we have the myrrh. The myrrh formed part of the preservation ointment that the Jewish people would put on the dead. So it's the preparation for the death of Christ. So the royal king who will die. And so those are the symbols presented to the baby Jesus there. And the other side of those gifts is they fulfill prophecy in the Old Testament. One of the prophecies we just read tonight about gold and frankincense would be brought to him from the nations. And in the Psalms, we hear about the myrrh. So these gifts of the Magi fulfill the Old Testament, and they also usher in something new. Jesus is what ushers in something new. You know, some people, and I know none of you all fall into this category, but some people try to reduce the mission of Jesus to saying he was just a moral reformer. Like that's what he did. He came to teach a new morality. But that's not true. The morality that Jesus taught is present in the Old Testament. Now, he did emphasize some things and he cleared up some misunderstanding. But the morality of Jesus, the moral teachings of Jesus, are also present in the Greek philosophers and the philosophers of Asia. Again, Jesus' teaching to fight evil with good. He did emphasize some things, but that was not his fundamental mission. His fundamental mission was present in these gifts that he would be a king who is God, who would sacrifice himself. It is in himself that something new has entered the world. The very person of Jesus transforms our dark history. He is the light of the world. He is the light shining in the darkness like a night sky. He is the star that leads our way. And we are all on a journey to know him better, to live our lives more fully for Him and in Him. And I hope and pray that we're all on a quest, on the quest of the wise men for holiness. And why is all this important to you? Have you had this epiphany? Have you come to this insight that you were created to know God, to love God, and to serve God? That's why you exist? And to know God is to love God. And to love God is to desire to serve Him. And if you don't desire to serve Him, you don't know Him. And if you don't know Him, you can't love Him. And so we're on this quest to come to know God and love God and serve God with all of our lives. And we have a series of epiphanies that put our life in order, that give us a new ideal and a new understanding. Now, I just have to mention the final big character in the gospel today. And again, this is a familiar story to most all of you all. But King Herod knows about Jesus. King Herod is familiar with the scriptures, but King Herod doesn't know Jesus. He's heard that there's going to be a new king, and he's threatened. He doesn't want to go worship the king. He wants to go kill this child. So we have the contrast, and this was my whole sermon last year, was the contrast between the wise men and Herod. Herod who was threatened, Herod who went into a rage, Herod who clung to his things and was lost. But we have to be like the wise men on a quest, seeking, knocking, asking, remembering this passage of the gospel. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks he finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. And that is seeking God. And we seek God even as we seek healing and renewal in ourselves. Maybe a remind you of the quote earlier today. Have patience with all things, but chiefly have patience with yourself. Do not lose your courage in considering your own imperfections, but instantly set about remedying them. Every day, begin the task anew. You can change yourself. You can change your family. You can change Bay St. Louis. You can change the world by allowing Jesus Christ to change your soul. Have you had that epiphany? Merry Christmas and happy Epiphany.